Hebrews 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. We'll read the verses 1, 2, and 3 once again, as we did a couple weeks ago, and finish up the message that we started then. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We want to continue a message that we started a couple weeks ago entitled, "Run the Race with Patience." Let's go into a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this evening, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you may be evident in the services tonight. We pray that your Spirit may be among your people, that it may be that we may truly be have a ready mind, an open heart for your word. We pray, Lord, that in all things that are said and done, that your name may be glorified and honored, that you may be pleased in them. We think of our pastor as he's away. We pray that you may bless him, give him what he stands in need of as he brings the Word of God into those in Michigan. We pray that you may bless those services. We pray now that you may bless the services here tonight. We pray that you may just draw us closer unto you by the preaching of your Word. We pray, Lord, that you may go with us now and protect us and forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Last time we, of course, we've been discussing this metaphor of running a race as and comparing that to the Christian life, the Christian walk or Christian race, however you want to term it. And we looked first at the implications behind this metaphor, and we found out that this shows us, illustrates to us that there are some things that we need to be aware of before we go into running this race, that it will take strenuous effort. It will be something difficult to undergo, that it's not just going to be a walk in the park to serve the Lord. It's also going to take training. We need to be engulfed in the Word of God, and we need to make use of that knowledge that the Lord gives unto us through the Word of God, through the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. And we ended last time by asking the question, how are we to run this race? And we specifically focused on this idea of running with patience. We are to run with patience, which once again kind of gave us an indication that this run of the Christian life is something that where we're going to encounter some difficulties, and we have to face those things head on and in the right manner, and not take shortcuts around those things, but actually deal with them, deal with the root of the problem when we're faced with confrontations and disputes and offenses. And something we didn't bring out in with this idea of running with patience last time that maybe we should have is we also need to persevere when it comes to matters of that seem monotonous to us, such as just the normal grind of life. Say if you're a mother or a wife, you may just feel like, you know, I just do the same thing over and over every single day. I take care of the kids and I cook a meal for my husband or whatever the case may be. And you may just feel like you never get the acknowledgement that you kind of feel like you should. And the same may go, maybe in the same idea may go to the husband, the father. He's, I just go to work day in and day out, and I do the same things over and over, and providing for my family. And we need to realize that those things are should be doing those things for the glory of God. And they shouldn't seem monotonous to us. And but there is an aspect where we have to do those things with patience. We have to persevere through those things, but we have to keep on doing those things that God has called us to do as a mother, as a wife, as a husband, as a father, even if it does seem like we're doing the same things over and over again. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, but let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But again, there are difficulties in the Christian life, and there will be many of them. I'm about to guarantee you that, And we must be determined to keep moving on. We can't give up in this race. And so our third point, the third question we want to ask is, what is our motivation to keep running in this race? Or what are some encouragements that we are given to keep on keeping on and not give up? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we're probably tempted to give up, aren't we? We're maybe prone to think, well, you know, what's the use? Why keep on serving the Lord? Why keep doing the right thing, the same things over and over and over, if difficulties and heartaches always seem to be the result of doing those things? And so it can be tempting to think that way, and it's tempting to just give up and quit the race. So I love the encouragement that is given unto us in our text here in Hebrews in chapter 12. Now, you could go through the Word of God and find a wealth of encouragements, a wealth of motivations for us to continue running in this race. But in our text here specifically, we are given two specific means of encouragement here. Number one, the great cloud of witnesses. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 11 describes this cloud of witnesses that is being referred to here. All of these witnesses, they did what they did by faith. You see, what patiently enduring, what running the race with patience comes down to is, do I believe God or not? Do I trust God or not? You know, Noah, he endured patiently. No doubt, I'm sure a lot of ridicule over those 100+ years, but yet he believed God. For all those years, he's building this ark, and he's a preacher of righteousness. He's going out and warning, and kind of doing the same old thing over and over and over, it seemed. But yet he kept going. He kept going until he finished what God had told him to do. And he was saved from the flood. Him and his family. And a lot of people would probably look at what took place in the life of Noah and say he was a failure. You know, the only people that got on the ark with him was his sons and their wives. But Noah was no failure. He performed the will of the Lord in building that ark and warning of the flood to come. Abraham, Moses, David, so many before us had to endure patiently a lot. But yet by faith they continued to run. They had to go through a lot along the way. But in the end, God fulfilled His promises in every case, as He always does. Do we believe that? Now, we probably say that we do, but does our life really show that we do? We have no reason to doubt that He will always fulfill and keep His promises. Not only because He is God and cannot lie, but because He has given us so many examples and witnesses that He is God and will not lie. And if we really do believe that, if we really do trust, if we really do live our life by faith as those great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, I think we'll be more apt to patiently run the race before us and continue to serve God, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the earthly or physical results or gain we may get from those things. So we have the great cloud of witnesses here. But we're given another means of motivation, another encouragement. Note that also Jesus Christ gives us encouragement to patiently run the race. Notice the similar language that is used here in this verse 1 and 2. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was what? Set before Him, endured the cross." Do you see the similarities, the comparison that's being brought out there? We can be encouraged to run the race set before us because Christ endured the cross that was set before Him. And not only did He endure those things, endure that cross, it was also, it seems, a joy unto Him to endure it. Therefore, let us do as verse 3 says, to consider Him that can endure such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. See, dwelling upon Christ and what He did on our behalf is encouragement for us to continue running the race before us, even if we're in the midst of difficulty ourselves. The point being made here is that if Christ can patiently and joyfully endure what He had to endure, which, by the way, is infinitely worse than anything we'll ever face in our lifetime, then how much more should we be able to patiently and joyfully endure our light afflictions on this earth for the cause of Christ, who laid down His life for us? If Christ suffered what He did on our behalf, is it really so much to ask that we be willing to lay our life, give up our lives for Him? Is it so much to ask that we're willing to suffer to a much lesser degree for His sake? That's not too much to ask. He gave everything for us by enduring everything we deserved. So let us give Him everything we have and run with patience until we have finished our course. Lastly, where should our focus be in this race? Wherefore, verse 1 again, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now, there is an aspect of this point that relates to what we just went over. In this race, the whole way, not only should we run with patience, but we should run looking unto Jesus. who is the author and finisher of our faith. While our focus most definitely should be on the Lord Jesus Christ at all times, what we see here tells us a little about what looking unto Jesus entails or involves. The last phrase of verse 1 says, "Let us run with patience the race that is what? Set before us." It does not say the race that is set behind us. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that a runner would perform very well in a race if he or she is constantly looking back while they're running? I don't think so. If I'm looking back, well, what's going to happen? Well, I open myself up to all kinds of dangers. The most obvious, of course, would be that I have a very good likelihood that I might trip or I might fall. You know, what if there's a rock in the path? If I'm looking backwards, I'm not going to see that, so I might very well trip over it. Also, it's highly unlikely that I'll be able to stay on the right course or path. And if I do stay on the path somewhat, I'm probably kind of veering to the right and to the left quite a bit. And so I'm not making a very good time in this race. And I find it hard to steady myself and stay on course. So to be an effective runner, it requires a looking forward. With that being said, I think there is a connection here that we can make from these two verses. Not only does running a race require a looking forward, but looking unto Jesus requires a looking forward as well. Now, don't take this completely wrong. I do believe wholeheartedly that we ought to take inventory of our life on a regular basis. As saints of God, we are exhorted to examine ourselves, whether we be of the faith or not. So I do believe there is a sense in which it is beneficial to look back, but not in a holding on to things type kind of way, but in a learn from your past mistakes kind of way. We can't live in the past. A lot of people like to do that. But we can learn from the past that we may more effectively run the race that is set before us. Now, when this says that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us, I think there is probably a twofold banner in which this phrase "before us" applies. Now, the first manner in which this phrase "before us" applies is to what God sets before us in His Word. God sets before us in His Word the path, the way that we are to take in this race. It tells us how to talk, how to dress, who to marry, how to interact with others, how to deal with difficulty. Everything we need to know about the race that is set before us is contained in this book. If we are to run this race effectively, patiently, and joyfully, we must be students of the Word. Our focus must be on the Word of God. Our desire must be to fulfill and live out the Word of God, to be obedient and faithful to thus saith the Lord. Now, obviously, we are not going to run this Christian race very well if we're found in disobedience to this book. So, I believe that's one way in which this is referring to that of the race that is set before us, by being in this book and knowing how God expects us to live. The second way in which this phrase "before us" applies is that as we run in this life, we are to look ahead, pressing forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God to Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. And what we specifically mean by this is that what we need to realize is we still have a life to live. Regardless of what maybe has happened to us in the past, regardless of any past difficulty, I am to currently walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I am called. And I am to resolve to continue to walk in that moving forward. Now this entails a lot, and this is where I believe the laying aside of some things comes into play. Verse 1 tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So we have two things we need to lay aside in order to effectively run the race that is set before us. Weights and sin. Now, don't misunderstand this. Weights here can also have reference to sin, but weights and sin here, I believe, refer to different types of sin. First, weights. Be turning to Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Weights here specifically refer to baggage, things that we're holding on to. If I'm running a race and I'm strapped down with weights on my legs or my arms or my back, or if I'm physically carrying something, depending on how much that thing weighs, that's going to probably considerably slow me down. And so this principle applies to the Christian life as well, I believe. If I'm holding on to, say, a grudge, or if I'm holding on to bitterness towards someone, or if I'm living in defeat due to some past sin in my life, or even if I'm kind of coasting on some past victories or successes, then I'm going to run this race much slower than I would if I'm looking forward. Philippians 3, look at verse 11 here. It says, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We need to forget a lot of things in our lives if we're ever to be very effective for the Lord. People's going to say things wrong towards us. People's going to offend us. But how are we going to react? Are we going to overlook it? Are we going to move forward? Are we going to live in bitterness over those things? Until we learn to forget the past, then we are going to have a hard time looking unto Jesus. Because you can't look behind you and look to Jesus at the same time. You can't hold a grudge and be looking unto Jesus at the same time. You can't hold up anger and animosity and bitterness towards this person or that person and be looking unto Jesus at the same time. You can't even be basking in the glory of some past success or victory and still be looking to Jesus at the same time. We need to forget some of those things in the past and we need to move forward. Don't look back on past sins, past offenses, past failures, or even past successes. Be looking forward to the race that is set before us, looking forward unto Jesus Christ. Scripture warns us to remember Lot's wife. She looked back, didn't she? We know what happened to her. Weights can also refer to things that are not necessarily sins in and of themselves. But if we have a wrong balance, then they become sin and they weigh us down. For instance, maybe it's a hobby. Maybe you like to fish, or you like to golf, or you like to go shopping. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things by themselves, but if those things cause us to neglect our duties, as say a husband or a wife, a father or a mother, or being a good steward for the Lord, then those hobbies of ours has become a weight that has made us unbalanced and ineffective and caused us to run this race in not a very good way. And so we need to learn to lay aside those things and realize that we should have priorities. We shouldn't spend all our time watching TV. We shouldn't spend all our time doing those hobbies. But we should be about our Father's business. We also are exhorted in Hebrews chapter 12 to lay aside the sins the sin that easily beset us. Now, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, and I think the Bible even bears this out by examples. But every one of us probably have at least one particular sin that maybe above all others we struggle with. We have the most difficulty in overcoming. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's our tongue. Maybe it's discouragement, depression. Whatever it is, you probably know what it is right now. You're probably thinking about it. And we have examples in Scripture of those who struggle with a particular sin. We think of Samson. You know, he let his lust towards women be his demise. Think of Peter, especially before the ascension of Christ. He was very prideful. He was quick to speak and slow to hear a lot of times. And this is why we can't stand back and look at others and say, well, you know, I'm better than this person, or I'm better than that person. Because while it may be true that I don't struggle with this particular thing that person is struggling with, but it's probably also true that they don't struggle with the same thing I struggle with. And who are we to say, well, this sin is a little better than that sin, or not as bad as that sin? Where do we get off on doing that? Who gives us that right? We have these things that we find so difficult to put away from our lives, but if we are to run this race effectively, we must lay those things aside, or we won't be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But the question we may want answered is, how do I lay these things aside? That this sin, or those weights that I struggle so much with, that as the sin that has so easily beset me so often, how do I lay it aside? Well, I think it's really a simple answer. It may be difficult to put into practice for us a lot of times, but the answer itself is quite simple. Whether it's laying aside weights that bog us down or gets us off balance, or laying aside the sin that easily besets us, the answer is seen in this text. The answer is found in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I realize that probably doesn't satisfy our desire for an answer. But here's the issue. What are we focusing on? What are we dwelling upon? What is the objects of my thoughts? What consumes my thoughts in my mind? Again, our focus cannot be on the race that is behind us, that portion of the race that we've already ran. We can't be focusing on that. Our focus can't be even on the circumstances that are surrounding us. But it must be on the race that is set before us, and specifically, it must keep in light of the finish line that is before us. There is complete and utter victory at the end for the saint of God. For us to live is Christ and us to die is gain. Why is it gain? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The finish line in this Christian race is for us to be in the ever-abiding physical presence of the author and finisher of our faith. At the end of this race, there is a great reward. In fact, we'll even receive medals that the Bible calls crowns. In 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." In other words, those who are looking unto Jesus will receive a crown of righteousness. Now, I know from our last message, probably none of you have believed me that I got first place. So I brought my medal. But I was thinking just a while ago that it's a pretty nice medal, really. It's pretty hardcore. But as nice as this is, it will pale in comparison to the reward that we have waiting for us as God's people. And even as coveted as those crowns may be, I suspect that we'll be like the 24 elders of Revelation 4, and we'll lay our medals, our crowns, at the throne of Christ. The entirety of this race should be spent looking unto Christ. At the start, be looking unto Jesus, who is, of course, the author of our faith. At the finish, we will be looking unto Jesus, who will be taking us with Him, the finisher of our faith. Everywhere in between should be spent looking ahead, looking forward to Jesus Christ, our deliverer, our buckler, our high tower, our rock, our strength, our salvation, our Lord and our Savior, our the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. We can't look back. We can't dwell on past failures or past victories. We have to keep moving forward, looking forward. He is coming back again. Do we believe that? We will see Him as He is. He is our hope if we're children of God tonight. And if we are truly looking forward, looking unto Him, loving His appearing, we won't think about those weights that slow us down. We won't be dwelling on those things so often. We won't be considering or meditating on those sins that so easily beset us and that cause us to fall. For He is able to keep us from falling. Therefore, consider Him. Meditate on Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Our focus must be forward. Our focus must be on the Word of God, the written Word of God, and the personification of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Our focus must be on Jesus Christ, our Lord. If it is, I believe we'll be able to patiently run the race that is set before us. That's our message tonight. We pray that the Lord may use it to His honor and for His glory.